we're thankful for the presence of all of you here this morning. And maybe if I go with, maybe if I talk a little bit, it'll get a little bit stronger. We want to talk this morning about the blood-bought church, the institution that Christ purchased with his blood on the cross of Calvary. We're amazed from time to time when we hear people make some comments about the church. Religious people who make comments that minimize the body of Christ, the church again that Christ purchased with his blood. There's a lot of people who say you can be saved outside the church, outside of the body. They always also say that you can be saved and never join yourself to any kind of religious organization at all. Millions of them who call themselves Christians also say that you don't have to associate yourself with any kind of religious group at all. You can be a Christian and you can stay at home and you can be pleasing in the sight of God, never working with any other group, with anybody other than simply yourself. And perhaps this attitude concerning the church has been brought on by the hypocrisy that has been so abundant in the religious world and among denominations, because we see religious organizations as they're doing certain things that even in some sense we might even call against the law of God. We find other religious groups and faith healers who are bilking people out of millions and millions of dollars. We see the sins that they are committing. We see all kind of hypocrisy within the members of the religious groups. And perhaps as a result of this, people come away with the attitude that, well, the church is really not all that important. You don't really need to be a part of the church or any religious organization or group in order to be pleasing in the sight of God. And as a result, then, we see that a lot of people begin to throw the baby out with the wash. They begin to throw everything away rather than trying to find out what the truth of the matter is. And many of the abuses that we see in the religious world have led people to almost dismiss religion altogether in striving to please our Creator. The minimizing of the church, I'm convinced, comes from a misunderstanding of what the church is. And that's what we'll try to talk about this morning. What is the church? What is this blood-bought institution that belongs unto Jesus Christ? There are many misconceptions concerning the church. Many people minimize it because they don't understand what it is or what the function of the church is. I believe we have seen in our own lifetime a change of the attitude concerning a lot of people in their concept of the church simply being the building. You know, a lot of people have that in their mind when they think of the church, that it's the building that the church meets in. But as I said, I believe in our lifetime we have seen people get away from that. They understand now that the church is not the building, but the church is the people that meet in that building. Some think of the church as a human denomination or some organization, and they ascribe a name to it, such as the Baptist or the Methodist or the Presbyterian or the Catholic or whatever it might be. And this is the concept that they have of the church. But we know the Bible never uses the word church in this way, nor does it put any kind of religious name to that. This human designation makes it a part of the church in the universal sense, the one part of the church as a whole. And of course, in this sense then, if it is a denomination, as some people think of it, it is smaller than the church universal, and yet it is larger than the local congregation that goes to make up the body of Christ. The word denomination applied, as it is applied in this way, we see division is something that is synonymous with that. And so we have the concept in the world that one church is just as good as the other. And of course we know that it is in the sense of human man-made institutions. None is better than the rest, and one is just as good as the other. There's the Catholic concept of the church also. That is, that the church is a law-making organization. And this is the concept that the Catholic Church has concerning what they are and their function is to be. And this is carried over into many of the other denominations as they worship God. They teach, the Catholic Church does, teaches that God never intended that the Bible be the sole guide for salvation of mankind. As a matter of fact, in their catechism for young adults, we find a question that is put that says, did God intend that the Bible alone should be the guide to salvation? And their answer to that is no. God never intended that. Because certain things, they said, that are in the Bible can be misunderstood. And because the Bible does not have everything that God taught. And so their concept of the church is that it is a continual, it is a dynamic thing that continually makes laws for itself. And so we have, as we have seen in our own lifetime, a changing of the canon law of the Catholic Church. And many, as I said, many of the denominations have this same concept of the church, that it is a lawmaking organization. And we see from time to time, as they meet together in synods and councils and groups, that they will change their law, they will change their doctrines, and they will try to keep up with the times. And so this is their concept of the church, that it is a law-making organization. There are others who are in different religious groups who have the concept that is found in the premillennial doctrine of the church, that it is simply an afterthought, that God and that Christ, when he came to the earth, intended to establish a physical kingdom. That was his hope, that was his desire and aim when he came. But because of the rejection of the Jewish nation concerning Christ, that the church was kind of an afterthought. That when Christ saw that he was going to be rejected as king and was not going to be able to establish the kingdom, then God came up with the plan of the church. And so it was kind of an afterthought. And it's only here for an interim time until Christ is going to come again and he is going to establish a physical kingdom. Again, this is the concept that some people have of the church. Others have the concept of the church that it is some kind of sanctified or glorified social club. Because a lot of people have lost faith in religious things and in religious ideas and in the Bible and in God and in Jesus Christ. And when that faith has become lost by these individuals, then they transfer their social thinking into the church and the things that the church ought to do. And they feel like that it is an institution that ought to provide for all of the needs of man, for all of his physical as well as his spiritual needs. And so they do whatever they wish with the church. And so this is some of the thoughts that people have concerning it, and misconceptions of the church that we read about in the Bible. These are individuals that have lost sight and lost interest in God, the God-given function of the church, and that is to teach the gospel of Christ and to save souls. But we find that the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ is something that is established and has been established by God and by Jesus Christ. Would anybody be upset if I stopped here? I just don't think I can go on. I don't think that I'll be able to go on much further. Maybe I can save this sermon for another time. If you would, get your songbooks out. I don't think that y'all should suffer and me either, so we'll call it a halter right here. We're going to stand, we're going to sing a song in a moment. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who would want to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do in order to be saved. You know what the Bible teaches for you, that you must have faith, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. The words in the songs that we select for an invitation are so written to encourage you to do what is right. And perhaps you are here this morning. And if you want to respond to the gospel of Christ, won't you do it as we stand and as we sing?